listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
P3, it's the original protein. It's time to get grilled, as it's the round table. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and from ClevelandBrowns.com, staff writer Kevin Jones, and senior staff writer, of course, Andrew Gribble. Gentlemen, welcome to the round table. Let's just start with this. Positives that you can take out of the San Diego game.
I think you look at the offensive side of the ball, because that was clearly a step in the right direction. I think it was probably Josh McCown's best game in a few years at the position, going back to when he was with the Bears. And the thing I like, and this is maybe a little bit off the wall, but like, I like that Travis Benjamin's having an impact, not just going deep. I mean, he's making an impact as just a normal receiver.
Career high, six catches.
And I think that passing game opened up the running game and made things a little bit easier, and you had a really balanced attack. You score 27 points in the NFL and put up as many yards as Cleveland did, you should win the game.
Yeah.
And I think the offense played well enough to win, and it didn't happen on defense.
Offensive play calling. I'll go that. Flip had his best game. He comes in there, gets a rhythm for the game. I asked Pat about this and Josh McCown. I mean, 42 passes to 21 runs all offseason. If you heard that, you would say the Browns were trailing that game. They had to do that. No, this was a close game the whole time. They said the short passes, that works well with our offense. That's jiving with the personnel. I thought Flip did an outstanding job. Special teams is an area that the Browns are excelling at. Our boy Justin Gilbert makes a couple plays there. I mean, other than that, like Pettin says, this is a bottom line business. He lost the game. It's been a tough start to the year, guys.
Right. Now, I'll ask both of you guys. Offensively in the National Football League, you strive for balance. You know, that to create that run-pass doubt in a defense's mind. And as we've seen over the last six quarters, taking the second half of the Oakland Raiders game into account and the San Diego Chargers game, we've been really good through the air. And is that something? We've gotten a couple calls in the first hour of the show just talking about spread them out more, spread them out, use these playmakers, allow Josh McCown back there, and this very good pass-protecting offensive line, I would say, who they excel better at that than they do being the grinders, and spread things out. What do you guys feel like from a philosophy standpoint when we've been built to run the football, but we're excelling at throwing the football right now?
Yeah, you have to continue doing this. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me, especially this week with Baltimore. They've had secondary issues all year. Wilt Hill is a really good safety for them, but I think the Browns have adapted offensively. I think going away from the run a little bit, hey, if that was your mantra at the start of the year, guess what? You can change some things in the middle of the NFL year and tailor that to your offense. Benjamin's emergence has been huge. Still need to see more from Hawks. Still need to see more from Hartline. Still need to see more from this unit, but I am pro passing 40 times to 20 runs. I like that ratio a lot with this offense.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, that I liked about it was we've struggled to run the football when we come out and say we're going to run the football. And we ran more out of our three receiver sets and seemed to have more success with it.
Right. That was exactly what I was going to say. It seems like the pass is setting up the run. At least that's what we've seen so far. And even you go back to – I'm going back to the preseason. Like in Tampa Bay, it seemed like the passing game started opening up some holes in the run game as well. The Tennessee game, you go deep early in the game, and then Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson start getting some runs there. So it seems like when the Browns are running the ball in the first quarter, it's just not working. But the passing game seems to be clicking a little earlier. And then as we saw this last game, I know maybe 100 yards isn't what you strive for, which is what the Browns have. But at this point, when you're throwing for that many, 100's pretty good.
Nathan, Matt, Gribble, this is what the Cleveland Browns need this week. They have to go out and play like they did against the Buccaneers in the preseason. They have to win 31-7, start to finish, turnovers, interception, sacks early on, deep plays, finish drives. They have to come out and crush the Ravens. If they do that, then this team can, I don't want to say save the season, salvage the season, but they need not just a trickle by the Ravens, they need to go out and steamroll the Ravens, and that's how I think this team can turn it around. Other than that, there are dark clouds looming around this team. They know this.
If you look at the Ravens, though, especially off their first victory Thursday night, they could have easily rolled over on the road and done the same thing against Pittsburgh and fought back. And when you've got a franchise-type quarterback in Joe Flacco without Steve Smith, it's next man up. And somehow they fought back. And I don't think – this is not going to be a pushover in their home stadium.
No, and they've had more days to prepare.
Right.
And Joe Flacco did an interview after the game with Tracy Wilson. This guy's really mature. This guy's taken on a leadership role for that Ravens team. So it's really going to be a tough test. But the Browns have to come out playing a full game of football. And they – I don't want to call it desperate, but this 1-4 is almost impossible to climb out of.
So where do you see that improvement being able to come from defensively? Because this was a game against San Diego where they didn't have the three offensive linemen. They ended up down to really one receiver and Dontrell Inman, who was supposed to be their fifth receiver. They had tight ends running as receivers. They had Danny Woodhead running as a receiver, and yet the Browns couldn't stop them. What needs to happen for this defense to play at the level that we all hope and expect it to?
I think with the injuries in the secondary, you don't know what you maybe have this week. I mean, Gibson's status is up in the air.
But we should be able to beat their receivers.
Right, and I'm saying that because I think that's why it starts with the pass rush. I think you need more pass rush. I don't know where you get it from. You maybe get another big game from Armani Bryant or someone along those lines, because as we saw in the Tennessee game, when they start rushing the passer, that's when it's kind of a trickle-down effect. It helps out the secondary, and I think the secondary needs that help with that pass rush, because as we've seen, when Phillip Rivers wasn't getting pressured, those wide receivers were getting open.
When you are struggling on defense, the best way to get out of it is make the other team one-dimensional at something. I don't know what – I mean, stopping the run seems like it's too hard for us, so –
They were pretty one-dimensional, though, in the second half, and they just dominated. I mean, Phillip Rivers threw 4 incompletions and had about 250 yards in that second
half. They got to pick their poison here and just force the Ravens. I mean, what would you rather have them do, Joe Flacco throw or Forsett run all day? I mean,
well, without Steve Smith, without Perriman, Torrey Smith is gone. Crockett Gilmore is probably out again. I'd probably rather have him throw, but that's what I would have wanted Phillip Rivers to be doing
right
in that game.
And I talked about it yesterday. Phillip Rivers was 12 of 23 in the first half for 128 yards or 10.6 per reception. In the second half, he was 11 of 15 for 230 yards, 20.9 yards per reception, and of course, 2 touchdowns in the second half, 1 in the first.
He out-executed the Browns. I mean, it's that simple. He knew where to go with the football. We did not know where he was going with the football. I mean...
And while missing guys on the back end, I think we're not able to dig into that graduate level of defense.
Right.
And we it's a tell. I think it's a huge tell. Jensen Metamose can't have swagger and, like, you know, push up, pull back, and try to confuse the wide receiver. He's up there ready to, you know, get lined up and go, and, like, Phillip Rivers knows exactly what he has.
I mean, anyone in that situation, that was some of his most serious run ever at cornerback against one of the most prolific offenses that the Browns are going to face this year in San Diego. I mean, it's a tough position to put anyone in success.
Right,
in.
And he did it on with, what, 3 hours' notice?
Yeah, and that's why it goes to, you're setting up Rivers for endless success when he has even just a few seconds to pass. I mean, we saw the first 2 drives of the game where the Browns were really getting pressure on him. They really couldn't do much of anything. And I think Rivers was a guy who, if you're getting pressure on him, he's going to throw a pick or two.
Yeah.
And the turnovers just
haven't.
He had
9 straight games.
Right. The turnovers just aren't happening. So you have to be able to stop them.
This defense, I think, relied a little too much on Kaywan Williams at the start of this year. I mean, without him, it shuffles everything around. Now you got Tremont in the nickel. Now you've got all these moving parts if people are hurt. I think this team needed to have a backup nickel situation more intact. Now you've got so much confusion.
I don't think that's been a problem. I think you had Hayden, Pierre, and Tremont, and I think that arguably is maybe your best cornerback trio as it is. I mean, the Raider game was not the issue of us getting whooped out of the slot against Tremont or Crabtree beating Pierre.
I'm talking about just knowing assignments. It just changes. It's a lot of moving parts out there for them.
I think it starts up front. I think our inability to do anything up front at the point of attack has been the death knell of this team. And when you look at a team that invested so much in the defensive line like the Browns have, 2 draft picks, including their first pick this year, a third rounder they traded up for in Xavier Cooper, the signing of a Randy Starks, to not get that return, I think, has been thus far probably the biggest disappointment on the defensive side.
It's this simple on defense. Look at what Duke Johnson's doing on offense. Go make plays. Go get an interception. Go get a sack. Go force a fumble. Make a big play on third down. The defense just hasn't risen to the occasion and been the trendsetters.
Given that, were you guys surprised yesterday that Mike Pettine said, you know, here we are after 4 games in the season. We're supposed to be an elite defense. We're currently 32nd, but we don't need any wholesale changes. Were you guys surprised by that?
Knowing his personality, not at all. He's not someone to hit the panic button early. That's 25% of the season. They've thrown that out the window. They're 75% ahead. He's full steam ahead. If they lose again, he's going to have to. You're going to have to. You got to change.
But who?
You got to change the recipe. You can't keep
what?
Serving the same food dish every week. That's not good.
If it's prime rib, you can.
I mean,
I'm wondering too if he's going to make changes, would he say that it's going to happen? You can still make changes behind the scenes and then unveil them on Sunday when the Ravens may have been planning all week to see one look. And so maybe I think there could be some gamesmanship to that. I think after what you see the last 2 weeks, you're going to have to adjust something in practice, I would think.
I'm well beyond the gamesmanship. I mean, it's a show.
It's about
show
execution.
Me.
You're
show
even
me.
Calling to simplify things and just
yeah,
execute.
I really
on,
am.
On
you
your
know,
core.
Take out some plays in the playbook.
Whack
right?
the game plan in half and live and die by what we do best.
Let me ask you about the Joe Hayden situation, your reaction to Pettine's comments on it, the NFL investigation, and then also the player comments that nobody has any issues with what happened.
I mean, I think we were all surprised when it happened, because when you see a guy listed as probable throughout the week, that you would just assume at this point that he's going to play. But at the same time, I think Joe has established enough credibility in this league, enough respect to his teammates, that he felt like he couldn't go. We saw him last year play through the flu and everything like that. Was it Carolina or Baltimore?
Played
and,
with the shoulder against Baltimore in the finale.
You think with the finger, it's like the press man coverage, stuff like that. I mean, he went up with it. Before the game, if he felt like he couldn't go, then he couldn't go. And
where do you believe the setback came in testing it Sunday morning? Because I mean, what surprises me, if I were, you know, again, looking down on this football team, would you not want to test it on Wednesday with a press or a jam, or I said it earlier, a tackling a dummy or a bag to the ground and rolling on that finger so that Dazier or Gilbert or someone else had an inclination there was a possibility they could play, so they could get mentally ready and maybe even, you know, get some reps.
Did you guys talk to him on Friday? Because I know Friday he talked to the media and
no, it seemed like he was playing. Yeah, he was talking Keenan Allen. He was talking everything. And I think, if we're being honest about the situation, I think Pett was a little upset about it. In his answer yesterday, he I don't want to say he was calling out Joe Hayden, but he said he left it up to Joe and Joe couldn't go.
Joe did not want to go, is what Mike Pettine said yesterday. Just an interesting situation. All right, tomorrow they're going to be back here. You're going to turn your attention to Baltimore. What does this team have to do to kind of right the ship? I know we talked about a lot of it defensively. Do you think it's like something overall? Is this like a real gut check week for them and Matt, for a team? I know you're on teams that were not in situations like this, but is this a real gut check type of a week?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think this being a division game, with Baltimore coming off their first victory, they've got confidence. It is definitely a gut check week, because it could snowball very quickly. Just based around, you know, the forecast of looking at what's ahead. Okay, you know, you go on the road and it's not the result that you want. You come home against the Denver Broncos and then you go on the road again.
You go against St. Louis and then home for Arizona. And what's interesting is those are probably three of the best five defenses in the NFL right now.
Yeah. So
our offense isn't going to be continuing to put up 400 yards.
But that all being said, it's okay. So then you would say that, okay, the offense will be limited. And
so our D needs
Yes, that's the point that I was going to make.
I agree that it's a gut check, because I know we can still say it's early in the season, but once you get four or five games, you kind of are what you are. And I think, you know, the first week you could say, oh, okay, it's week one. Then week two happens, it's good. And then week three you're like, oh, we were capable of doing this. But then when two straight happen, where you give up that many points, that many yards, that becomes start of a trend. So again, that's why, especially when if you do three in a row, then it really is who you are. You got to
the Ravens
rebound.
Aren't good.
Yeah, I mean they're banged up.
They're not good.
This is the most down Ravens team I can remember in 10 years.
Yeah, they're not good.
This week I don't want to say it's for all the marbles for the Browns, but if you're getting to 1-4 with Peyton Manning coming into town, you're staring 1-5 down the barrel. I mean, it's getting
then
to
at St. Louis, home for Arizona. I mean,
it's just interesting.
If you're going to play good football, Cincinnati, now is the time. I mean, if we foresee a scenario of this team competing for the postseason, for you want to play meaningful football and things of that nature, you have to win this week. If not, you're everything that you've
9-3
said,
combined record of the Broncos, Rams, and Cardinals. Correct?
Yes.
Rams are 2-2.
Rams are 2-2, 4-0, and 3-1.
Right. Yep.
This team, when Mike Pettine got hired, the day he said. We're going to be built on toughness. We'll find out Sunday. Mental toughness from this team. Got to have it.
I want to see physical toughness. I want to see them out there. You know, just watching the game last night, I don't know how much of it you were able to watch, but and I know it's Seattle and everything, but just the way that they go out there and impose their will physically and with speed defensively, that is something that I thought was going to be a staple of this defense and has not been.
And even when they were on their heels, they made a play. I mean, they were.
Thank you, Mr. Referee.
No, I mean, but
that was a great play.
The fumble was
Chancellor.
Legit.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, that was
phenomenal.
But isn't that what I've always said?
Make a play.
I mean, you create this team in the NFL. There's so much parity that it comes down sometimes, as it did in San Diego, who has the ball last. And Phillip Rivers and that offense made play after play after play that put themselves in the position. Had we gotten a sack, or had we gotten just get our hand on a ball, tip ball in the middle of that defense, and have, as in years past, Tashaun Gibson run underneath it. You know,
have we not given up a gasher?
Right.
Somebody have been there
not,
and tripped somebody
that's
up.
That's what I mean. Just make a play when the game's on the line. Make a play. We're good when it doesn't matter, but when we need to, Everybody's looking around at someone else.
Well, and I was reading the stat that we've given up. I believe it was 96 points or 93 points in the final 2 minutes of the first and second half since the start of last year. You just can't be doing that.
And San Diego had that composure. It was that could have been a momentum crushing moment for to give up a touchdown and a 2-point conversion on your home field. They were just as desperate as the Browns too. They were staring 1-3, and they just came on the field and acted like it was nothing happened, and just showed that composure. I mean, that's what you want to see out of this Browns team on both sides of the ball.
The way that game was going for me, it went through my mind on the sideline briefly. Once they got down and clearly were in field goal range, I almost had the thought, like, just let him run in the touchdown. Our best chance is to try to get the ball back.
Freeway. That's actually a defensive call, freeway. You get out of his way.
Hey, yeah. I'll say this. I don't think at the end of the year we're going to be saying this defense was historically bad. They're going to rank 32. I really think that there's enough talent on the staff and enough Pro Bowl guys. They're veterans, but I really think this defense can climb out of this hole, and they compare it with that offense. You know, call me an optimist here. I still see this team competing in November, December.
Well, this team's going to have to play. We thought it was going to play a lot of close games because of the defense. And I'll tell you what, this next stretch, after you get through Baltimore, our offense is not going to be prolific against – it's just not. No offense is going to be prolific in a three-game stretch against Denver, Arizona, no. St. Louis. No. It's just not going to happen. And then Cincinnati, who, by the way, is playing very good defensive football. That's the four-game stretch coming after this one.
You know, Mike Patton said it's before the season, it starts the division, and this is your first opportunity. You win some division games, you're suddenly back in it. That's why it's nice. You think that the Browns get a wounded Baltimore team. But again, the Ravens have history on their side, and the Browns have to kind of rebuke that history.
They're going to have to go into Baltimore to win this game. And, you know, last year the confidence should come from the fact that it was week 17. It was a playoff game for the Ravens. The Browns started Connor Shaw, and were leading that game in the fourth quarter. They just got to find a way to seal the deal and get the job done. Gentlemen, we appreciate it. Tons of great content, as always, at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. They are prolific there. You know, as I'm looking at this right now, the last time that the Browns won in Baltimore, November the 18th, 2007. So it's been a while.
I remember that game.
I was in high school.
I was still in the NFL.
I was 7 years out of college because I'm old. All right, gentlemen, appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at @Andrew_Gribble, @Mr_KevinJones.
Thanks.
All right, gentlemen. Hopefully we'll have better topics to discuss on next week's roundtable, but we appreciate the time as always.
I pray.
We'll pray. Yes, as MC Hammer says, we'll pray. We'll pray. Just to make it today. All right, we'll be back. We'll be handing out our grades on the Browns and the Chargers when Matt and I return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.